Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
The Gainesville, Florida preacher, to burn the Holy Quran. September 11th was to be what he called International Burn a Quran Day. The leader of a small Florida church that espouses an anti-Islam philosophy had been on again, off again about whether he would burn hundreds of Qurans today. As of yesterday, the son of the pastor suspended plans to burn copies of the Quran to mark the 9/11 anniversary. He says that Islam's holiest text will not be torched at their Florida church. However, today a man ignited a Quran near Ground Zero, apparently prompted by the Florida preacher. A man ripped pages from the Quran and Then, I'm sorry, a man ripped pages from the Quran and lit them at a protest near the proposed site of the community center and mosque near Ground Zero. If they can burn American flags, I can burn the Quran. America should never be afraid to give their opinion, shouted the unidentified man. I reached out to the Dove World Outreach Center this week twice. On Wednesday, I called and requested an interview from Pastor Jones, and I spoke with someone who identified herself as a member, and I basically told her that we were interested in interviewing him for the show and would very much like the opportunity to do that. And I was asked by that member what was my views. I then told her that I didn't feel that my views were important to the interview and that I was not going to be able to give her my views because I was just acting in the capacity of a journalist. And I was told by that member that I probably would not get the interview. And then she very quickly said, well, it's not up to me whether you get it or not. So that says a lot. So today I again reached out to the Dove World Outreach Center and reached another person on the phone, and that was about 12:39 p.m. Central Time to make them aware that we were doing the show and asked if I could get any of their members to call in and tell us what their views on the Quran being burnt were. That person basically told me that they would just pass on the information and that they were not the decision maker. And I can understand being a member sometime and following a ministry in which sometimes takes a different direction. And I was just wondering if any of the members of that church were maybe under his leadership and then it took a different turn and maybe his views changed from when they first started, and I was just interested in hearing from them on that, and I still hold that offer open if they're willing to call us today and tell us a little bit about their pastor and some of the things that their congregation has done in the past, because I'm understanding that Reverend Jones has spoken openly about a mayor that they have in Gainesville that's openly gay, and he has also spoken out against abortion. And his views seem to be somewhat radical in the way that he goes about things. So I was just wondering if that is the way that he started out, because I understand his congregation is about 50 members. And so I was wondering, you know, when people first join Bear, is that what they joined from the beginning, or did this pastor some kind of way maybe lose his way in understanding God's voice? We see sometime across the world where people will be angry with Americans and they will burn flags and they will burn life-size effigies of our president, and we don't react in the same way that the Muslim community has reacted to this. So I just wonder if we consider this to be acceptable, the way they've responded to one person, because Reverend Terry Jones is not representative of the United States. And so for our leaders, like Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama and Robert Gates and General Petraeus, to get involved in this, it just makes me wonder for one person to have that much power that those type of officials would get involved and say, please don't do this. I'm just surprised that burning a Quran, and I'm not saying that their holy book is not sacred to them, but I'm just wondering if people who consider themselves religious should be so, I'm not going to say easily offended, but should be offended by one person's actions. People were saying things this week like they thought that this person may cause an international incident. And I was just surprised that we considered that to be the case. My guest is joining me today, Mr. A.J. Houston, no stranger to Center Stage, is an author, poet, and motivational speaker. Welcome again to the stage, A.J. How you doing? Welcome to the stage, A.J.
Oh, yeah. So how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah,
you heard my intro. What do you think? Last week we had the physicist, Stephen Hawking, to say that God had no role in the universe, and Christians began to panic. Now this week we have the Reverend Terry Jones to say that, you know, he's going to burn the Quran and Muslims get in an uproar. Should we as religious people be so easily affected by what someone's views of our religion or our sacred books be? I mean, should we be that sensitive to that?
Well, and see, I really do have a problem with it because I really don't think you should, because just because of what somebody said, I mean, it's like when it first started burning the American flag, you know, Americans were in an uproar, but that was their, I guess, political statement of them burning the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And if we worry about inanimate objects more than we worry about people, we already have a problem.
Mm. You know, I wonder if Christians would be this upset about the Bible being burned. I don't think so. I may be wrong, but I don't think so.
I think they would. I think they would. I think because it's just, see, we're in this media circus now. When something happens, they want to be the first to dispel it, first to, you know, ban it, first to talk against it. You know, and that's where we have 24-hour news services, so they have to talk about something. And I just think that we're focusing on so many wrong things that we've gotten used to it. So now we don't mind looking at the news when they're talking about what somebody said or what somebody did that they did in their backyard, burnt whatever in their backyard or in their front yard, and everybody's in an uproar, people are picking in their house. And it's like we've overused, you know, just like what, on Martin Luther King's inaugural celebration, we made the I Have a Dream speech. You know, Sarah Palin and everybody, they were there, you know, saying that they were fighting for rights or whatever, but the thing is we can claim whatever, but that don't mean that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they say it, that don't mean what's happening. We're just using the news to put on our own agenda.
True. Let me ask you this. This thing has turned into a four-ring circus. The Pope, the President, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State Robert Gates, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, David Petraeus, that's the commander in Afghanistan, all weighed in on this.
But you know why they did?
I beg your pardon?
Do you know why they did?
Yeah, I'm concerned that should they have, because that's giving
First of all, you have to know why they did it, why they weighed in on it.
Well, they weighed in because they said, listen, you know, you don't know what you're about to incite, which I question, could we really have started another war over one?
No, but see, that's not even the reason they weighed in on it.
The reason they
weighed in on it is because somebody went to them with cameras and posed a question.
Okay.
What do you think about this? So if they said it doesn't mean anything, then they're not on the sensitive side of this particular issue. If they said it mean a lot, that means that they felt. So I'm saying it was like no way to win and no way to lose, because as long as you say something when they put the camera in your face, you have to say something, because if you say, that ain't nothing, they're going to say, oh, President said that, you know, burning the Quran is nothing.
Hmm.
You know, so then that's a big story. So I'm saying the story goes how the story goes. We don't see the beginning of the stories. We just see how they blow up.
Mm. Because, you know, in my opinion, that says that anybody who decides that they want their 15 minutes right now can do something as radical as this and get the media from across the world as far, you know, as you can see or imagine, and then you get, you know, our high-up officials to call this person and beg them and plead with them not to do something that's ridiculous. And so I was just – there should be a law against it.
I don't think they get the high-up officials to do it. They just get the news media to say that this person said this about it. Then then the waiver wire, the news wires pick it up, and now they play on CNN, CSNBC, you know, ABC, NBC, KTVT. You know, every station will pick up that little blog, and once they play it and play it and play it, then the newscasters will comment on it. So now it became a big story because somebody went and posed a question that you had to answer to not seem insensitive to something that was an act of stupidity.
Well, do you think that this could have caused, like, a Muslim versus, you know, U.S. war? I mean, well, Middle East, I should say, Middle East versus U.S. war. I mean, could Ron Vernon have been that?
I completely doubt that.
So why do you think so many was weighing in and saying that it could?
Well, because once you get the higher officials to say whatever, and then once they say something against it, then other people say, yeah, we're against that too. So now you got everybody on the same side. So now if everybody's on the same side, if this had happened, this would have caused this because everybody's on the opposite side of the line. And I'm saying, to me, we give too much credence and, you know, add too many pounds of weight to what the news media says and how they do it and not ever knowing how they came up with the first concept or who asked the first question or how the story blew up as big as it did. And I think we just blew everything out of proportion as far as things that aren't even newsworthy.
So you do not believe that the Quran burning could have caused an international incident?
Not at all.
I saw that over in Indonesia, there were people that were protesting against this one preacher burning the Quran, and I thought, I cannot believe that they would even be affected by him burning some Qurans over here.
What?
But they were. And so, I don't know, I'm listening to, you know, General Petraeus saying things like, you know, that this would be putting our soldiers lives at risk because they're over there in the Middle East right now in Afghanistan and some in Iraq, and that would be putting them in jeopardy. And I thought, wow, I cannot believe that people would retaliate against our soldiers for what one preacher did here in the U.S. But obviously, General Petraeus thought that it could. I don't know.
I don't even believe it could. But that's what I'm saying. I think we, you know, people looking for newsworthy stories or information that would be newsworthy, once you go and ask a couple of people something, and then you say, well, the president said, you know, whatever, you know, what do you think on this issue? So if the president says something on it, I got to say something on it. Or if I'm against the president and the president said whatever, I think he's wrong. So I'm saying now you have them two arguing over something that wasn't even an issue until they said that these two people are at odds at a certain issue, the way they brought it up. And it could be the way they asked the question. So,
okay.
So I don't give credence to it at all because I think we have to blow things out of proportion. We have 24-hour news services. What are you going to talk about for 24 hours? You don't make your own stories.
Should we change laws in this country to not allow people to behave in radical ways like this, or was he within his rights?
That's not even a radical way. Don't nobody know what he's burning in his yard?
Well, I mean, when you call the media and say, hey, I'm going to burn this.
I know. No, but what I'm saying is that's what happens when he calls the media. If nobody shows up, then it's nothing. But if he burns something in his backyard and there's a law about him burning anything in his backyard, refuse or anything, then the police will come and get him for burning whatever in his backyard because that's the pollution. Pollution has it.
You know,
so
what I understand?
There's laws against different things, so.
Well, what I understood about that was that he had, in fact, contacted the local fire department and said, hey, I'm going to do this. Can I get a permit? And I understand that the fire department said, no, we're not going to give you a permit to do that. But I understand either his legal team or someone else advised him that he could still do it, and he didn't need necessarily to have a permit in order to do it.
Well, think about it. See, to call the fire department, what you're burning, how big is the book that he's burning? We're just going to say he's burning the book, okay?
Okay.
If you burn a book, how big is the fire for the book?
Well, you're right. But you know what? A barrel fire, if the fire department says it's illegal, is still, you know, illegal.
Yeah, but it's not even a barrel fire. You know what I'm saying? He's burning a book.
Well, no, he was going to burn hundreds of Qurans.
Okay,
people have been mailing him Qurans. To once they found out about it, because he put up a website and the whole nine yards and put up a big, you know, bulletin board in front of his church and all that. So people were aware that he was going to do this. He's been talking about it since July. And so,
but that's what I'm saying. See, he got all these other radicals following him. I'm saying it's like Jim Jones. I bet there's a lot of people who wish they hadn't drunk the Kool-Aid.
See, you're wrong for that.
No, I'm saying I'm not trying to make a funny. I'm saying this guy has followers mailing him books because they don't want to burn him, but they want to see if he will burn. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So Jim Jones, you know, that's what I'm saying. We have all these people that come up with some radical idea. So all these people might not even be followers of him. Might just say, you know, he's stupid. Let's see if he'll burn it. You know, and they just people want to tag along with something, be in some part of the news or be in some part of the media circus and say, yeah, I've seen the Quran. You know, I think that was the third one he burned. You know, and I'm saying it's ludicrous that we would give credence to so many of these acts that people are doing that has no moral reference or moral fortitude. It's not helping feed the hungry. It's not, you know, helping cure AIDS. It's not helping with the cancer problem we have. I'm saying we have real problems in this society.
Oh, I agree.
We're focusing on so many small, minute things that, you know, we talk about cancer, you know, on Pink Day, you know, when it's time to walk again for Susan B. Komen. And I walk every year, but I'm saying I'm not trying to make a funny of it. I'm saying we have so many days that we share with so many other things that we're just trying to spread the news out. What can we talk about today?
Okay. Well, then let me ask you this. What do you think is going on in the minds of the 50 members that he has? Because I was saying this just before you joined me that
the 50 members.
I would be sitting there going, okay, Pastor has lost his mind and it's time for me to jump ship, because I would be thinking, I can't imagine that people would have joined a church that was talking like this. So I'm just going to assume, you know, that maybe some kind of way he lost his way. And so you're still sitting there, and you're realizing your pastor talking about burning Qurans and starting an international incident, and you got the president and everybody else begging him to stop. I would think it's time to leave that church and go find me another one.
Give me one second.
Because I think what I noticed is here you have a church, you know, of 50 people who are jeopardizing their lives by even being in the building with this man. Because at any time some radical person could decide, hey.
Well, can I say something? I understand what you're saying, but you sound kind of like the media to me now. When you're saying those things, you know, like it's death and gloom and they're putting their lives in jeopardy. See, my thing is, it's just like I saw a guy with a LeBron jersey on walking to a game in Cleveland, and people were about trying to attack him, and they said that this guy knew he was wrong for wearing his jersey. And I'm saying, what have we come to in America that you don't have the freedom to buy what you want, wear what you want? I'm saying it's not like I'm wearing, you know, the Nazi sign on my, you see what I'm saying? I'm not wearing something that has, I guess, historical religious things like a Confederate flag on the back of my shirt, you know. I'm saying it's just LeBron jersey or wearing something Dallas to Philly, you know, to a Philadelphia game, a Dallas Cowboys jersey. And I'm saying it's like we give people the okay. We've given everybody the okay to do what it is when somebody does what they want to do. If it's against our group, if it's against our group, we're against them. You know, and like you say, the 50 people that follow him, they probably following him. It was probably following him. He probably did a whole lot of crazy things before. Call the media. See what you need to check is how many times did he call the media before now with whatever story? Who followed him? How many people join in? So how many stories did he have to come up with before he found some other people to follow him besides the 50?
Because he did go after the – I'm sorry?
I'm saying this is not his first act.
No, he went after the mayor of Gainesville because he's openly gay, and then he has openly protested against abortion, I understand, in a radical way. And so you're right, maybe these 50 people are as radical as he is, but maybe now they should rethink, wow, is this getting a little out of hand when my pastor needs to carry a pistol on his hip for his own protection because he's gotten over 100 death threats. That's pretty serious.
People get death threats all the time for whatever. They get, you know, it gets that desperate for dating somebody or for, you know, I'm saying this is a crazy world, but we give credence to so many things, and we have so many outlets of news that make these stories bigger than life, so now everybody's believing that the sky is falling just because Henny Penny was crying.
Well, I hear you, but I think you're looking at it a little bit, or you're making it a little bit more simplistic than it really is, because if people are willing to strap bombs to themselves and blow themselves up in an attempt just to get another person or a group of people, then that says to me that if this is, you know,
that's
people that are thinking, that he probably is endangering himself along with his congregation.
I'm kind of in agreement with that, but that's a whole other subject. Now we're talking about terrorist activities. You see what I'm saying? So we went from one subject to another, and we're trying to blend the two together. And I really don't think they have that much. They don't have that much glue to keep themselves together like that. Because
really?
When you start talking about terrorist activities, see, the terrorists are doing something to make a statement for I guess they consider, you will listen to me if I do this, because we're going to do whatever we can to get noticed.
So when someone calls you and makes a death threat, and you didn't just get one call, you got over 100, that sounds like to me that you have incited some stuff where you could be putting yourself in danger of getting yourself killed along with whoever happens to be with you at the time.
It's possible, but how many death threats did he get when he was doing the abortion thing and when he was doing the gay thing?
But you're talking about a different group.
We're talking about the same person.
The person has crossed over to the group in which they're upsetting.
But I'm saying he's just growing to get more media attention.
Okay, let me ask you this. To me it seems like he has been taunting this group, if you will, for a while, because he first put up a sign outside the church that read, "Islam is of the devil." You know, when you say things like that, you know, and we have, like, a lot of people who are Islamic in our communities, that seems like that was just a start, and maybe people just drove by and said, okay, you know, he's stupid. But then he said, okay, well, that didn't get him, so then let me talk about burning the Quran. Let's see what that'll do. So I just feel like this person maybe should, I mean, I think if he was of a different color, and I hate to use a race card, he probably would be incarcerated for some of what he's done already. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, you say for starting a riot, huh?
Well, yeah, technically. Because, you know, the thing is, he doesn't seem balanced. You know, so if he was, I would think, of a different color, they would say, well, you know what? Maybe we need to get him checked into a mental hospital. Maybe we can say he's crazy. Or maybe we can say that, you know, he's inciting a riot or whatever. But I don't think that he would be moving around freely like he is on today, the day in which he had originally said he was going to burn the Quran. I think he would be in jail on some type of charge, whether it be bogus or not, just to get him off the street today. You don't think that?
I don't know. Now we're talking about arresting large groups and large sums of people from different states for whatever they claim.
Well, he was the one that's taking full responsibility. He's not saying his congregation. He said, I was going to burn.
Oh,
you know, his congregation,
that,
you know, no one else has stepped forward and said we. It's always been Reverend Terry Jones was going to burn the Quran today, or Reverend Terry Jones made this comment, or Reverend Terry Jones made that comment. So I would not blame his congregation for being anything other than not very smart followers. But I would not say that they are responsible for the Quran burning, because there's no one that's been out front with the media except for this person until yesterday, when his son surfaced and said that there would be no Quran burning today. So I would pray for his followers that they got some sense of direction and knew that it was time to run. Because
okay.
I just don't see, initially he seems like he's lost his direction, because initially he told them that he was going to burn the Quran because September 11th was the anniversary of the attacks on the Twin Towers. And then later this week it became about whether or not the Muslims were going to be able to put the mosque near Ground Zero. So it's like, you know, how can you switch the reasoning for what you're doing midstream? So it seems like the leader has lost his direction. You know, he's saying he's hearing from God, but we know that God is not the author of confusion. So therefore, I cannot believe that God would have him out on a mission that didn't make any sense. Can you agree with that?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
But for him to profess that in the beginning, you know, that he was doing this because of this, you know, and see, you know, God is not the author of confusion in the first place. And then you have so many people using, you know, invoking God's name for their notoriety. And it just becomes a, I guess, on the discernment of the people. Because you say he got 50 followers and you got all these people knowing him, Quran. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people just wanted to see what he was going to do. And they may not have believed anything about him. But I'm saying it's just like you say, you know, send me $5 so we can do this. So give me, you know, $1.99 can do this. And people will send money in because they say, okay, I'll help. Because, you know, if I feel like I donate to something, I'm not giving my 10%, or I get my 10% at church, or I'm trying to help the other entities outside of church. But I'm saying we're the crazy society right now. So there's so many things that he'll probably be up saying something else soon so he can stay in the news.
Probably. Would you say that burning the Quran was considered sacrilegious or blasphemous?
Well, I think burning any group religious book is wrong, because that's really saying that, you know, why supposedly was America discovered? It was discovered supposedly for freedom of religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would make it against why America was discovered in the first place. Because if you have freedom of religion, you know, that, and we have freedom of speech too, so you can say whatever you want to say about whatever. It's when you put your hands on a person, on an individual. But I'm saying I think they've okayed burning the flag in some instances where people would, you know, burn the flag and say, you know, whatever they're mad at about America, so they burn the flag. Because I remember the first couple of times they did it on the news, I think this was when they had they had hostages over in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
They was burning flags and doing all this, and everybody was mad. They were mad at that they was burning flags, and the reason they had hostages. So I'm saying we look at inanimate things, and I think that our focus needs to be on people in this day and age, because economic problems, the family problems, the problem with the church. So we need to focus more on people and on helping instead of, you know, finding other little ways to use up our little 30 minutes of news time or hour news time. Let's do some positive things instead of always trying to news is about news, because news is not impacting if it's talking about good things. It's news is only impacting when it's talking about death, murder, mayhem, and somebody doing something that's against somebody else or against somebody else's religion. That makes news.
But I think this was, and I could be wrong, maybe this man thinks he's heard from God. Maybe, you know, he's hallucinating and he thinks he's hearing from God. I don't know. But don't you think if this was done for a publicity stunt that it backfired?
Well, it's the kind of publicity you're trying to get.
Well, I think if he really had intended to burn those Qurans, he would have burned those Qurans.
I think it backfired on him, you know, for sure.
Yeah, because, you know, yesterday, or was it Thursday, late Thursday, he started, you know, saying, well, you know, he had been promised that the mosque that was going to be built near Ground Zero, that the imam up there had promised to not put it there, that he was going to move it. So therefore, he considered that to be an act of God trying to tell him that, okay, then don't burn the Quran. And the imam in New York says, I never made such an agreement. You know, so I don't know if he, I don't know who's lying, but I really believe the imam would not have told one Florida preacher that I'm not going to build a mosque here just to pacify him not burning those Qurans. So I just question what made him have the change of heart, that maybe fear set in and he realized, wow, this is becoming bigger than me. And it's kind of like, you know, you start a small fire with one match, and then the next thing you know, the whole forest is on fire. I just kind of feel like it's that kind of situation where he had one little match that he used for publicity, and the next thing you know, he's got the forest on fire, and I think he became afraid. You know, and he said, well, you know, maybe I better rethink this, and he didn't know how to come to the people and say, I'm not going to do this because I think it's a bad thing. I think he had to come up with another reason, and so therefore he blamed it on the Iman in New York. Don't know.
Well, I'm saying, but me, I kind of stray away from hypothesizing someone else's actions, because then I'm trying to add logic to something that's stupid. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to add logic to a stupid act, and when he started out stupid, I don't know how you find logic in, you know, in between or at the end of it, or maybe he found his conscience, you know, whichever it is. But
the conscience, then you admit I found my conscience.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but instead of me hypothesizing on why he did, I'm still trying to figure out, we need to check and see how many times he's called the news, a fire department, or news agencies, and said whatever to get his name out there in the media.
True,
because
it
seems like something that he keeps doing, and each time he's trying to get bigger, trying to get more popular, trying to get his congregation up.
Okay, so he keeps crying wolf.
For sure.
Okay. This guy says that, you know, he's under a non-denomination umbrella. However, he's supposedly following the Pentecostal doctrine. I myself am very familiar with the Pentecostal doctrine, and this doesn't seem any way familiar with anything I've ever known. So I wonder, is he on something of his own? I mean, did he take part of what he knew to be Pentecostal and then maybe embrace something that doesn't have anything to do with the Pentecostal faith, but I completely know too much about the Pentecostal doctrine to agree that he could be possibly following it. There's no way in the world that this man is following Pentecostal doctrine. And so it's amazing how people will throw titles out there and say that I'm like this group or that group, and their ways and their actions shows that they could not possibly follow in that. So I'm just surprised that he would say that. Are you familiar with the Pentecostal faith at all?
Yeah, the basic concept of it. But what I was going to add is, like, every generic everything is like something else. That's why they made it generic. Mm. You know, instead of tithe, you buy it's generic tithe. Instead of Aramis or whatever cologne you buy, you can buy it for $7. This is generic Aramis.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever religion he possessed, he got the little $6 bottle, generic bottle, instead of paying for the $89. That's the real stuff. But I'm saying this is a common thing in America to you know, be like Mike, or, you know, be like Nike, or I guess the perfect example is in what's the movie with Eddie Murphy? Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
the restaurant, he would never answer the phone because he thought it was McDonald's coming, because they was always trying to sue him. He said McDonald's has the two arches. He has the two arcs. You know, but I'm saying it's that same kind of thing, you know, and we look at those other things as jokes, but people are really trying to get as close to something else as they can, and, you know, and not use that name and not give them credit for whatever it is that they created. So I think a lot of pastors are that way. A lot of churches are that way, and that's why we have over 200 different religious beliefs in America, probably more than that. And a lot of them stem from something else, from St. Augustine starting out, you know, the Catholicism changing and Christianity changing and Baptist and AME and Church of God in Christ and, you know, Pentecostal. You have all these different. But it's supposed to be based off the same book.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that said, from a religious stance, if I am Christian, you are Muslim, and I disagree with the way your teachings are, would it not be right as a Christian for me to pray for you as opposed to
To burn your book, huh?
Yeah.
No, but I just told you, everybody's trying to find some generic way of making their own statement. So I'm in agreement with you. See, most of the acts that you see people do when they say they're Christians, you say a Christian wouldn't act like that.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Yeah.
First off, because if Ben and Eve's trying to say, why did, you know, he's a Christian, but somebody cut him off, so he just rammed his car into their car. You know.
See, but you know. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm saying it's those type of acts that leaves one wondering how much of your faith is, you know, how, you know, like if you have a gas tank, are you almost on empty? Is your Christian almost on empty?
Yeah. And a lot of times they are. They burn out on their own Christianity or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you're Christian almost on empty because I think you need a refill.
But, you know, I think what got my attention this week is when General Petraeus, and he's the commander over in Afghanistan, said that the image of burning a Quran would undoubtedly be used by extremists in Afghanistan. And he was saying that he was concerned about the impact that this would have on our soldiers over there. And just to think that we have our soldiers, our young men and women in the theater of war over there fighting, you know, something that most of us wish was over or had been over a long time ago. And here this guy is, you know, going to burn, you know, a couple hundred Qurans and possibly put them in further danger. That is crazy. I mean, it looked like they just should have snatched him off the street and, you know, and just demanded that he not have that kind of power. But instead, the commander is begging him to please stop.
But see, I guess the thing is that, you know, when you ask people questions referencing whatever, you know, especially if it's a question like that to a general, and it probably went that way because however it came from the news to the president, to Secretary of State, to all these other people, and they had to give credence to it because this is a religious artifact of this particular religion in America's, you know, freedom of religion and freedom of speech. So we say, you know, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. And that is exactly correct. But for the general, he's looking at it from where he is over in that area, and they're already fighting. You see what I'm saying? They're already fighting, and I don't think, you know, burning the Quran is going to make it any more dangerous over there than it already is because it's dangerous over there from the beginning. But that's his take on it. It's like, why would you incite people that we're already trying to, I guess, mend fences with and cure and get this over with?
But he's on the ground over there, and we're over here sitting in the comfort of our homes, and we have to take it that if he said it would make it worse, and he took...
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying, is that he said that, you know, if that's what he said, he's saying, you know, we already got enough problems over here.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do something that might cause more? That's it, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, but anything, it's like you say, you know, just like people talking against, you know, building a mosque in New York, you know, why... And then people talking about why they're building a mosque in New York close to 9/11. So you listen to both of those arguments, and everybody has their own points. So it's according to CNN or MSNBC on whose point they want to play today.
You know, I was curious because, you know, if he's a pastor and he's following the Bible, the Bible tells you to obey the laws of the land. So if the local fire department said that they denied him a permit to burn those books or burn those Qurans, it would seem that he would have said, okay, that means I can't do it.
But see, just from his actions, he's not following the Bible.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So to add anything else to that is just,
I was just, again, thinking back to his congregation. Who are these 50 people? And why are they following someone who obviously is lost? That's my thinking. But, I agree with you.
No, I'm with you. But I'm saying to even answer that, we'd have to have at least the 50 on here, at least 5 of the 50, so we get a 10% view on why.
This is true.
What I'm saying. I understand the point you're making, but my point is when you do something that's completely out of bounds,
mm-hmm.
and you already know the box of regulations that you live in,
mm-hmm.
so you can't put that person back in a box of regulations and say, hey, we want to know why you did it. He's already out of bounds.
Oh.
You know, it's you know, we're trying to figure out how we're going to get you to stop doing what you're doing and get you back in bounds and back. If you're a preacher, what are you preaching?
Hmm.
You know,
as I said in my intro, I called this church earlier this week to ask for an interview with Pastor Jones, and I didn't get it, but
But they wanted to know your view.
And they wanted to know my view. And I thought, as mouthy as I can be, I was speechless because I was not expecting that response. And I thought, what in the world does my view have to do with, you know.
But nobody's going to get an interview that's against something. All the interviews they want to do first is for somebody that's for them.
Well, they didn't ask CNN, I'm sure, or the Today Show what they thought before they did the interview. I'm certain of that. So I thought, you know, she's picking on me.
Yeah.
You know, she wants me to say, oh, I'm in agreement with what he's doing, or therefore I'm not going to get the interview. Because to me it seemed like a no-win situation. If I didn't agree with it, then therefore you ain't getting the interview. So she told me, you know what, if you don't tell me your view, you're probably not going to get the interview. And I didn't get the interview because I didn't tell her my view.
If I was trying to put something out there and I wanted my take on it, I wouldn't talk to somebody that don't agree with me as an interviewee or with a magazine because, you know, just I think there was one of the football players from the Jets. He did this interview on TV where they say, you know, well, you know, what about your children? How many children do you have? He still named his children. He says, so-and-so's three, so-and-so's three, so-and-so's three, so-and-so's three, so-and-so's three. And he got so-and-so's four and then so-and-so's six. And then he named like eight kids, but like five of them were 3 years old. And it was by different. And then his wife had like a 8-month-old, a 9-month-old. And then he came back and said that they put him in a bad light in the interview. So you see my point. They didn't put him in a bad light. They just asked him without, and on the spot, he just started naming him. Once he saw himself in that light, he felt like he was in a bad light, so he wanted to recant it. But that was him.
So, well, maybe after seeing that in black and white, it lets him know that maybe he needs to snip.
Yeah, I'm saying, but the point is that you're not going to talk to anybody, give anybody any in-depth interview that's going to put your exact words and not try to make them sound better.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of times when they take somebody out of context, they might, the first three questions they might not add, but the next question, they add your answer. And it seemed like you're just totally out of whack. You say, wait a minute, but they asked three questions before, and there was three more lines before they did the little extra. That is a quote from me. But that's not the whole quote.
You know, and it's his right not to do the interview, and I'm okay with that. Because, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask him is, are Muslims welcome at your church? You know, if you tell them that what they believe is all wrong and you know what's right, are you welcoming them to your congregation? You know, are they welcome to come to your church? And I really wanted to know what the answer was going to be. I really
did. That's when we're going to find out. But it's come as you are, so, you know, if you come as you are, a lot of times you.
Now, this man is carrying a 40 caliber pistol on his hip because of all these death threats that he got. So I would think that if a Muslim walked into church, I am not making light of this, that he probably would start drawing because he would think they're coming to get him. And I probably sound. I don't know if that came out right, that if a Muslim came into church, I should say a person of Middle Eastern descent, because Muslims don't have a certain look. But if a person of, let's just say, Middle Eastern descent that, you know, kind of probably would be thought to be Muslim, would walk into the congregation, he would probably begin to draw just out of fear for, you know, what he started.
No, but I wouldn't even go that far. I just think that when you say whoever it is that you say you are, but you got to walk around with a gun on your head. Evidently, he didn't read once they put on the whole armor of God, and, you know, and there's a whole lot of scriptures he's missing out of his Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then, first of all, some of the things that he's already said, there's a whole lot of scriptures missing out of his Bible.
Mm.
And we don't know if he had a Bible in the first place. Or maybe, you know, my father used to always tell his joke. He'd say, I go to Half Pint Tabernacle.
What's that, son?
You know, half pint, you buy half pint of liquor.
Right.
So he said, I go to Half Pint Tabernacle. Like he said, his church is the half pint. You know, it's the liquor. But he said, I go to Half Pint Tabernacle. Now, I just said that in reference to, we don't know really what this guy's church is and what it's about. We just know that there's a story out there on them and everybody's talking about it. And I wish that we could change conversations because it's kind of hard to still talk about somebody that's doing such ignorant things when we have so many other things that we can discuss.
Oh, I understand. And you know what? The thing is, I think those are so many are confused because if we keep having one group pitted against another group, that's how wars begin. You know, and so constantly we find ourselves with people defending their this or their that. And somebody like him is, you know, some weasel, I hate to call him that, some weasel is in the middle pulling the strings and standing back going, look at everybody fighting. And I just think we as Americans, we as people, we as the world should be smarter than that. We should say, hey, that's just one individual and he is not representative of the entire world or our entire country or our community. And so therefore what he says or what she says doesn't matter. Yeah, and I don't know why. Like I said last week with the physicist Hawkins' comment about God not, you know, being part in the universe, and this guy's talking about burning the Quran, why are we allowing just individuals to spark us like that? We should be smarter than that. We really should.
Yeah.
I mean, we should have come further than that. You know,
we have, but that goes back to the news media having to have something to talk about as being news. So just like, you know, just like the Hawkins discussion, he's a scientist and he was talking about something being created from the force of gravity. But the first law of science is matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Mm-hmm. So he's already dispelled himself as anything that he says he is or anything that he's – and to me it was like a book is due. I need to write a book, so I'm going to write something that that would get me noted, even if it's just the title of the first chapter. And that's what America does. You know, you just need to be on the bestsellers list for a month, and you can get a book deal.
Yeah, probably.
It don't have to be a good book, you know.
Doesn't even have to be a good book.
No, you just need to be on the bestsellers list for whatever reason.
So you say the media is responsible, and it sounds like in so many words you're saying the media is responsible because they jump on whatever's hot.
Yeah, they do. I'm saying when you look at all news stations now, they'll read the top Twitter, the top tweet, whatever the best tweet of the day, or they'll read something, you know, about Facebook, and they're actually talking about the different social medias because those are advertising dollars that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're talking about them, you know, and then you see somebody from MySpace got a million hits. So now the dancing wedding people are on Today's Show or some other show, and it was really stupid to look at.
I heard Charlie Gibson once say when he did the World News on ABC, he said, anything that gets 100,000 hits on YouTube, I look at it. And I thought,
yeah.
Charlie Gibson
exactly.
Looks at YouTube for who gets 100,000 hits. And so I guess depending upon if it was something that grabbed his attention once he looked at it, you know, and so that tells you that everybody is driven by a hit.
But what I'm saying, it don't have to grab their attention. It's popular.
Yeah.
Now you see my point.
Yeah,
you know, like the wedding, if you remember the baby dancing, and they had a new baby dancing not too long ago. I saw a clip on George Lopez and some other show because it had over 100,000 hits, and they just showed the clip because everybody want to feel like they're in the know. They're up with the times. They're up on technology. They're tweeting. They're Facebooking. They're MySpacing. They're just networking, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem that we have is everybody wants to show their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
even though it may not be knowledge. It's just that everybody sent you that link, and when you click on it, you say, oh, man. But they already registered that you watched it.
But I think this story shows us that we need to be careful about how we seek that 15 minutes of fame, because that 15 right. minutes of fame done wrong can backfire.
Well, I'm saying it can always backfire, but, and, you know, I guess we'd have to wait a month from now before we can even discuss that to see where he is and what he's doing then. You see what I'm saying?
Trust me, I don't think he's going to be burning the Quran, because I think if he were going to burn the Quran, he would have done it today. I mean,
I'm not saying burning the cross. I'm saying where he's in, because he's going to be trying to write something else,
okay.
trying to be in the news again, trying to you know, rev up some people.
So, people should be smart enough to realize when they hear Terry Jones, Pastor Terry Jones' name again, that this is a person who is just out there trying to get their name out there, who appears to be.
Well, I think his name should appear, you know, if it's Pastor Terry Jones, you know, in, let's say these are hypothetical months. In October 2009, he was picking whatever. In April of 2010, he was picking this. In September of 2010, he was going to burn the Quran. So now, in December of 2010, you have all these things by his name. You're going to say, okay, that's stupid. That's stupid. Okay, that's stupid. And that's stupid. So he's stupid. I'm sorry.
But you know what? No matter how stupid you are, as you call it, I'm using your words, no matter how stupid you are, there's a group of people that will follow you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so, you know, I guarantee you he can find a group of people probably that think like he thinks. I'm just curious to know, did he start out talking this way, or did he decide he wanted to be popular or wanted more members, and then he started talking this way? And I guess the research would have to tell us that, but I'm just curious. I just can't imagine that people would bring their families and congregate at a place that they consider a church to listen to a person who basically espouses hate toward other groups.
That's another act that's not in the Bible.
Yeah, I agree. AJ, we're down to our last minute or so. Would you like to tell people how to reach out to you?
Well, you can hit me up on Facebook. You can AJ Houston on Facebook, or you can hit me at AJWordArtist@yahoo.com, or find me at WeekendBooksTV.com. It's a Ning site, and it's where independent artists shine. And I just really appreciate the invite and being on the show and for giving us this opportunity to talk about whatever. Hey, appreciate you, Carrie, for sure.
I appreciate you back, AJ. Listen, that's going to conclude our segment on the pastor from Gainesville who was threatening to burn the Quran. It appears that he didn't do it. We're glad that he didn't incite like an international incident, and everybody's happy today, and he's somewhere in New York, I guess, harassing the odd men up there, trying to get them to move the new mosque from the area near Ground Zero to somewhere else. So maybe that's something we'll talk about down the road. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hello.